Hello, 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 and welcome to another episode of the Dorky Mets Podcast. I am your host, Charlie DeLuca, and with me, as always, is Del Alba and Corne Hogeveen. It's been a long while since we chatted, guys. How are you doing?
Doing well. Excited for this upcoming series. Will be a tough one, but we will talk about that. And overall, doing pretty good. How are you?
I'm good.
Go ahead, I'm on vacation, so I'm enjoying my time off from work.
Very nice, very nice. Whereabouts are you vacationing?
Well, last week I went to Orlando to Universal Studios, and this week I'm just doing a staycation date.
Oh, very nice.
How was Orlando? We are planning to go there next year, so that's pretty cool.
Fun rides.
So it's been a long while since we talked. Like I said before, just to recap the games that the Mets played, it's been over a week since we talked, I think. So for our listeners, and let's be honest, for ourselves as well, since we last chatted, the New York Mets taken 3 out of 4 from the Phillies in at Citizens Bank Park, which is always an extra little hand to the face of the Philly faithful, especially that Sunday game was extra exciting. Mark Canha coming up clutch, not once, but twice, especially that last home run that he hit in the, I believe it was the 9th inning, that shot of him and the Mets fans behind their dugout. It looked like Citi Field South there in Philly. So that was an exciting series. Although the next two games against the Yankees, they lost in the Bronx. Disappointing, to say the least, after sweeping New York, the Yankees at Citi Field. Disappointing close losses, both 4-2 in the Bronx. But then, as we've seen all season from this team, they bounce back, winning 3-4 from the Rockies, despite yesterday getting shut out 1-0. So I guess we'll start off this show, and Del, you can answer this question first. Thoughts on these last, 10 or so games? Yeah, 10 games. Obviously, the record, 6-4, is solid. Nothing spectacular, but certainly with the Braves right behind us, so right behind the Mets, you'd like a little bit better than 6-4 in 10-game stretch.
Yeah, of course. I mean, you got to try to get as many games as you can with the Braves playing really well. But, I mean, the Philly series was fun to watch. The whole thing with Keith Hernandez, the Phillies fan, Phillies want to prove that they're not bad defensively. And, of course, there was some shoddy defenses going on that some moves that were just like, make Keith crack up, I'm sure. It was fun to see. I mean, as far as the Yankees series, it sucked that we didn't win one of the games, but that's baseball for you. They took two home. We took the first two home. They're a good team. They've been struggling offensively, but so have we. We'll get to that later. Yeah, and then the game that we should have won that I felt like they had a good chance of winning against Marquez with the Rockies, I was kind of stunned that he was throwing like a no-hitter and at some point of the game, and like they just couldn't figure him out. So that was disappointing to see that the offense couldn't pull through for Scherzer. But here we are going up against the mighty Dodgers.
Yeah, Corny. I'll pose this question to you. Obviously, the schedule eases up for the Mets after this Dodgers series, but so too does it for the Braves. Your thoughts on just how the Mets are playing in terms of it always seems like every game is a must-win game because of how well the Braves have been playing since June 1st. Del mentioned that game against the Rockies, both games against the Yankees. They were, close games, had the time at the plate in the late innings. What do you think is, just the overall what is your overall confidence, I should say, in the Mets' ability to keep playing well? Because to me, at least, this isn't the NL East race isn't so much about the Mets. They're going to win, you know, 95, 100 games. This is about Atlanta and how they just can't seem to lose 21 but the Mets.
Well, I'm still fairly confident. I wasn't as confident as I was 2 weeks ago, but the Braves impressed me with the Houston series that they, I think they beat them 2 out of 3, which we weren't able to do this year. At least we weren't able to win one game against Houston. They lost a couple of close ones against the Cardinals, so that helped, because after that, the Braves won that first game against the Cardinals. I thought, oh man, if they don't lose a game against the Cardinals and they will get the gap closer and closer, I would be very worried. So we got back to three ahead. The Mets after the Dodgers have a pretty easy schedule, but I don't think the Braves have a very difficult schedule as well. So I mean, they will probably play close to each other in terms of wins and losses. So it's good we have a small lead, but I get the feeling that last series in Atlanta is going to be pretty important. And because the Braves, I mean, even the Cardinals games, they didn't lose by a lot. They were close games. Yeah, I mean, the Mets, like Dell said, we couldn't do anything against Germán Márquez, but we also faced not two of the best starters against in the Yankee series. And Armand, we couldn't figure him out. I forgot who we got up against in the second game.
The second game was, it's also blanking my memory. Let me check real quick. Clark Schmidt pitched a majority of it, three innings for the Yankees, kind of the opener role. But you're right, and we could try to Frankie Montas was.
Oh, yeah. Well, he was struggling since becoming a Yankee, so
yep.
That's a little bit worrisome to see the Mets struggle against two pitchers in 1 week. Probably could have done more against.
Yeah, and that's a good transition into what I think we should really get into discussion here is the offensive struggles for the Mets. And look, I mean, this is a really good team. They have really good players. I'm confident that they will right this ship. And I don't even know, you know, it's not really that much of a ship to right, so to speak. It's, I think, a little blip. You know, in a long, long season. And, I mean, you could go back, you know, the last time we talked was coming off the Braves series, right? They got shut out in one of those games and you know, scored one run in another and only two in the finale. They beat up the Phillies a little bit, but, you know, in their one loss, they only scored one run. We mentioned the Yankees struggles, only four runs in two games. And then against the Rockies this weekend, you know, Márquez has had a good, you know, has had success in his career for periods of time. But certainly, you know, getting shut out is never a good thing. And losing 1-0, it always is extremely frustrating. And besides that little bit of an outburst on Friday and that come from behind win where Canna came up clutch again, they scored six runs in the other two games they won. 3-1 on Thursday night they won, and 3-0 on Saturday night. So, you know, it's been a bit of a struggle this past, you know, week or 10 days or so. You know, sans one or two breakouts in the offense. Dell, I'll ask you this question. What is your overall confidence getting back on track? Obviously, a tough slate ahead with the Dodgers coming into town, but in terms of the, you know, rest of the season, these last 6 weeks or so, do you think that the Mets offense can get back to the potency they were, able to create earlier in the season.
Yeah, well, for me, look, the Mets are a team. They're high, you know, highly dependent on BABIP, right? Like putting the ball in play, and, you know, things happen when you do this. The thing about BABIP is that it works. It can also work against you. You know, you have bad luck. You can play a really strong defensive team, and, you know, those ground balls are just going to be easy outs. The Mets are not a power hitting team, and that's kind of like my only concern is I would like to see a little bit more power. I mean, I love how Pete is playing. I don't want him to be like the sellout for power type of guy. But, you know, maybe Lindor pop a few more home runs. Vogelbach isn't really – he hits the ball hard, but he's not really a type to crush the ball all the time to leave the yard. Ruff is a guy who's also, you know, he's in the lineup today. He's got a low batting average to see what he'll do. He can definitely hit some bombs, but that to me, I think is my only concern. I was looking at their last 15 games, and their BABIP number, which usually is around 300, is the last 15 days, they're at, you know, 286. And I've also noticed that their strikeouts have also been pretty high. They're 18th in the league with let me just load it real quick. If we think it's 100 strikeouts the last 15 games. Yeah, 103 strikeouts. So, you know, these are some things that they can correct. But just, you know, a little bit more power can probably help out.
Yeah. Yeah. Cornadel brings up a good point there. This is a Mets offense that is 7th in average, 3rd in on-base, 8th in OPS, and 5th in overall runs, but they're only 17th in home runs, so bottom half of the league. And I think Dale mentioned the two guys who really have been the driving force behind this offense all season long, Pete Alonso and Francisco Lindor. They have been struggling these last 10 days, and I think they're really is no I think it's clear the correlation between when they started struggling and when the offense as a whole started struggling. Alonso's been better since shattering his bat in Yankee Stadium, but still overall those two guys have been, you know, 1A and 1B in this Mets offense, hitting 3 and 4 every day. They virtually have – I think there has been one time in the past couple months where – Alonso has DH'd during the doubleheaders, but Lindor's been out there virtually every inning of every game. Alonso's been in every game, whether it be first base or DH. Those two guys struggling have, I think, been the main concern, this offense struggling as a whole.
Yeah, I mean, clearly if your third and fourth hitter aren't putting up the numbers, then I think every offense in baseball we'll have a little bit more difficulties getting runs in. It's good to see that Kenna, who's been red hot lately, so a couple of guys are picking it up. Kenna, a guy who didn't hit for a lot of power early in the season, and then all of a sudden is hitting for more power, so that's good to see. But with that, I also, you know, Vogelbach is a little bit struggling right now, so he's mostly a bit of your fifth hitter. That's tough if you are a team with your third, fourth, and fifth hitter struggling. And it happens. It's a long season. I think Lindor and Pete could have used a day off, maybe on Sunday. They didn't get it because they are playing a lot. And I mean, especially Lindor, I think, would have been helpful if he gets 2 days off in a row. I know he doesn't like it himself. So, but to me, that... I was a little bit surprised that the Mets didn't do that. I know Escobar is a far worse defender out there, but they are so important for this team. They have to, apparently they have to play every day, but I can't imagine that they aren't getting a bit tired right now. So hopefully this off day. The off day that we had did help them get back on track for this huge series, because it will be a tough one against the Dodgers. They have a good pitching staff. It's a little bit injured right now, this pitching staff, but they still have a pretty good pitching staff. So we need some guys to step up and to help us make this push in the last month.
Yeah, no, that's definitely a good point. I just want to kind of discussion here for the Mets offense. The two guys we mentioned, Alonso and Lindor, leading the team in RBIs. Alonso with 105, obviously near the top. I think he's still in first place in the National League. Maybe Goldschmidt has passed in the last couple of days. I'm not sure. But 105 RBIs for Alonso, 85 for Lindor. He's also in the top five in the National League in RBIs. The next highest guy for the Mets in terms of RBIs, and I know with the analytics, RBIs isn't the be-all, end-all of run production, but certainly it's important to drive in runs in order to win games. So after Lindor at 85, the next guy for the Mets in terms of RBI total is Starling Marte with 59. So a big gap between Alonso and Lindor and then the rest of the guys. Marte with 59, Canna with 50, McNeil with 49. So, yeah, it's clear that, you know, if you watch all the games, most of the games like the three of us do, you can see that Lindor and Alonso are the big boppers in the lineup. But obviously, when you look at the numbers, you can kind of it even opens your eyes a bit more, I think. And you hope that those guys get back on track because they really are the most important parts of this offensively. And, you know, Vogelbach's been all right. Been struggling a bit. Ruff hasn't really got a lot of playing time, so that's, you know, to be determined. Beatty, after providing home run in Atlanta, really hasn't done much since. Escobar is still not really productive from the left side. So it will be interesting to see how this ends up and how, you know, I'm sure Buck Showalter will have some way of to get his team out of this little mini slump here. So the next thing I wanted to touch on here is the bullpen. It seems like every week we talk about the Mets bullpen. And I wanted to start this conversation with one specific guy that I know, Corne, you have some interesting thoughts in Michael Givens. Obviously was the big bullpen addition at the trade deadline for the Mets. Really hasn't been good at all, at least if you look at the peripheral stats. It seems like every time he comes in, there's at least one or two base runners on base. He kind of has that Jerry's Familia quality about him. It's never really an easy three outs with Givens on the mound. But you seem to think that there is a reason for optimism for Givens this year.
Well, I was looking at Twitter and I saw an interesting tweet. I don't have it in front of me, so I'm kind of looking it up on the spot right now. But it's about the the little deeper numbers in his stats, and it showed that Michael Givens, even in his Met time, was a bit unlucky. Right now, if I'm looking at his baseball reference, he has a staggering 9.58 ERA, and before he allowed those couple of runs this weekend, his FIP was around 3.30, something like that. It went up after the tweet, so it's now at, let me see, 5.84. So he had some difficult outings after I sent you those tweets, but still overall, I think unluckiness was part of some outings. But then in his last outing, I think it's against the Rockies on Sunday, he got a bit lucky with that pickoff because he would allowed a run in that inning as well, and those balls were hit very hard. But I remember one outing where it seems like he was unlucky, he didn't give up a lot of hard hits. I think it was in relief of another pitcher that a couple of inherited runners also scored. I don't remember which game that was, but that was that to me, that was an outing which shows a little bit that there's more in the tank. He did it wasn't an outing that he threw 97 mile per hour fastballs, and I think it was against the Rockies on Saturday, if I'm correct, or Friday. But I liked that. I liked his stuff in that outing. So I hoped that was a bit, you know, turning in the right direction. But he followed that up with a worst outing on Sunday. So it's a little bit back to, you know, not really as I'm forgetting the word, but not. I'm not as confident as I was since I sent that tweet to you.
No, I mean, he's giving you no reason to be confident. And Trevor May gave up a home run to Gene Segura on Sunday against the Phillies last Sunday, or two Sundays ago, I should say, against the Phillies. He also gave up a run against the Yankees right after Vogelbach had hit that home run to make it 3-2. On, I believe that was Monday night. So it seems like the go-to guys, other than Diaz, have not been good in the last couple of weeks. Lugo is the exception. He's been solid his last, 17 or so outings. I think I saw a stat the other day where 17 innings pitched, Lugo has a sub-2 ERA, over 9 strikeouts per 9 innings. So he can't back-to-back days. It seems like Buck doesn't like to pitch relievers other than Diaz back-to-back days. At least he tries not to. So besides Lugo, Diaz, maybe Ottavino, there's not really a whole lot of guys who you trust, at least I trust, to get 3 out.
Yeah, I mean, that was the biggest concern, I guess, during the trade deadline is, what to do about the bullpen, especially you could add another lefty in there, and then you trade to get Vogelbach, you give up a pretty good reliever. So you weaken that aspect a little bit more to get a bat. But, yeah, I mean, the guys that are reliable, I feel like they're – because they're so reliable, they're starting to get overworked, and that can cause, injuries. Ottavino, when his slider's on point, it's amazing, but it's also – it could be the most flattest slider there is in baseball, and can just serve up meatballs. The strength of this team has always been the starting pitching. I do worry a little bit that the bullpen might not be strong enough, but let's see what happens. I don't want to be negative over here. That's usually Corne's job. I'm just kidding, Corne.
I want to follow with something.
I'm trying to be positive about the bullpen. I'm trying to be positive about the bullpen, but it's hard for me to find the words.
I don't blame you there. Maybe one glimmer of positivity that we can find is that they do seem to have reinforcements on the way. Tyler McGill has been throwing off of flat ground, and I believe he started throwing against live hitters the other day. So whole slot in. Granted, that's contingent on the rest of the starting staff staying healthy. So McGill will be there in the bullpen. We'll see what that's like. Obviously, we haven't seen him out of the bullpen at the major league level. Drew Smith is working his way back from injury. Maybe he'll return down the stretch in September. And then Joey Lucchese, the lefty and the lack thereof in the Mets bullpen, he's rehabbing in the minor league. So you have 3 guys potentially who maybe we'll come back, are projected to come back, Corny, I'll start with you, and then Dell, you can answer right after. Which one of those three guys do you think will have the biggest impact in the bullpen?
First of all, I wanted to say something positive about this bullpen. It's still third in the National League in ERA, guys. So we are talking about it like we have the Philadelphia Phillies bullpen, but it's not that this stretch. You know, purpose. It's not such a disaster.
Yeah,
it's better than people believe. And another point with the bullpen: if you play close games like the Mets have done lately, one run is the difference, and that makes a May home run against Segura, for example, even more important, because we haven't been able to really get a lot of blowouts lately, which means the bullpen outs are even more important. But to go further on the three guys, I mean, Tyler McGill coming out of the bullpen is pretty intriguing to me. That, I mean, we all know that he has a high velo fastball, he has good stuff. So maybe if he can max out in one or two innings, that could be really, really good. So I think he has the stuff to be a really, really good reliever. But I think a very underrated arm is Joey Lucchesi. We need a lefty. We could use him and that Scherf. I mean, I'm a fan of that pitch. That's such a fun pitch. So Drew Smith is Drew Smith. I mean, Drew Smith is a guy with good stuff, but also a guy who always seems to have issues with the long ball. He can be really good for a month and then give up three or four home runs in a month. So that's his main issue. And Drew Smith hasn't been able to limit that since he became part of the Mets bullpen. So he's solid, but you know that a couple of hitters are going to run into one against him. So for me, McGill is the guy who I'm intrigued most about in that bullpen.
Well, for me, it's actually, Joey Lucchesi is the one that I'm really looking forward to. You're right, Corny. The bullpen hasn't been horrible compared to other teams. On paper, they look magnificent. But when you watch them, it seems like they're overperforming maybe what the paper shows something else. When you actually see it live, you kind of get some concern. But I think that part of the reason why the bullpen doesn't look as bad on paper is because you have great defense from, Lindor and from McNeil. And if we didn't have those two in the middle infield, who knows how much worse situations could be. A strong defense can really make your pitching staff and your bullpen look great. But yeah, for me, Joey Lucchesi is the guy I'm more excited about. We needed that lefty. And you mentioned the Scherf ball. I think I saw a tweet the other day about his Scherf, like he added more to it or something. It's looking good. So I'm super excited to see that, that pitch from the left side. So
yeah, definitely some intriguing options might come forward for the Mets in the next couple of weeks. And hopefully they add to a decent bullpen. And like Corny said, it's not time to panic quite yet. They still have quality back there. And it hasn't hurt them yet, but certainly I think come October it might be a issue. So let's stop talking about the long-term outlook of these New York Mets and talk about this week, the schedule up ahead. We touched on it at the top of the show. Tonight, tomorrow, and Thursday afternoon, the New York Mets are playing the Los Angeles Dodgers, the two best teams in the National League. Could be a preview of the NLCS, as these two teams currently hold the top two seeds in the National League. But as of right now, they will face off for three games at Citi Field. Tonight's matchup is Taijuan Walker versus Andrew Heaney. And then tomorrow they will pitch Jacob DeGrom. It will be another DeGrom outing against Tyler Anderson, who's really had a resurgence this year for Los Angeles. And then the finale Thursday afternoon will be Chris Bassett and maybe Clayton Kershaw, maybe Dustin May. Kershaw's on the injury list right now, so we'll see if the Dodgers choose to activate him. But just looking at the pitching matchups, And Dell, you can answer this. On paper, you like the way it looks for the Mets. You're not facing Julio Urias. Walker Buehler's on the IL. He's out for the year. Tony Gosselin is on the IL right now. It seems, pitching-wise, the Mets have the better arm going in at least two of, out of the three games.
Yeah, you know, the pitching rotation is banged up for the Dodgers right now. They, you know, they have major injuries right now, so we're fortunate to get them at this time where their aces are not going to face us in the three-game series. And I say aces because they have a pretty deep bullpen when everybody's – I mean, excuse me, rotation when everybody's healthy. But for me, it's – their defense is just so good, and that's the problem with the BABIP factor that I mentioned earlier. You got to, you know, put a little bit more pressure on the pitchers by hitting the ball a little bit harder. It's going to be up for them to find holes in the gap, and that's difficult to do when you have, like, Trey Turner and shortstop and Freddie Freeman, you know, with his ice cream scoop at first. And it's about the defense, and we need to find the holes and score some runs. But it's going to be – I think it's going to be a hard series to score runs against.
Yeah, and also, I mean, look at how good that depth from the guys from the Dodgers is. They have Buehler on the IL, Gonsolin now on the IL, Kershaw on the IL, and Dustin May is just back. And they have Tyler Anderson, who has a sub-3 ERA. Andrew Heaney has a sub-2 ERA. We're still facing some pretty good starting pitchers who are having a heck of a year there. So it won't be easy, like Dell said. I'm very interested with the defense and BABIP combination with the two teams that doesn't really feel promised. But Dell, yeah, as we heard in this episode, you are the negative guy of the two. So
yeah, what is going on? This vacation has brought the dark side of me. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, I don't know too. But hey, it's we split the series in there. We are now playing home. It's possible we have DeGrom, Walker, and Bassett. Bassett, right? On Thursday.
Thursday, yep.
Bassett has been really, really good. The bullpen, the main guys of our bullpen are really, really rested. I think Diaz hasn't thrown since Saturday, if I remember correctly.
Saturday.
Yeah, so with the off day, we have a rested squad. Let's go. Let's just beat them. Let's be positive here and let's beat them 2 out of 3.
We got Tommy Trumpets in the game today too, so you know Diaz is gonna be all hyped up.
Yep.
That should be fun.
Let's get him a safe chance.
Exactly.
I would love to see that.
So the pitching, they might favor the Mets. The problem with the Dodgers, not just for a potential postseason matchup, is their offense is crazy good. You look at their lineup, and it looks like an MLB The Show created lineup. You know, just statistically as well, first in average, first in on base, first in OPS, first in runs, fifth in home runs, seventh in stolen bases, insane numbers. Their top four hitters, Betts, Turner, Freeman, and Will Smith, are all guys who, if they come up in a big spot, you're afraid to get out. You're afraid to face. Then they got Muncy. I mean, Joey Gallo has been great for them since coming over from the Yankees. He's adding towards the bottom of the lineup most nights. They have Cody Bellinger, who is a former MVP, batting ninth. Most of the time, just an insane line. It will be extremely tough for this Mets to work around, Dell.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, they hit for average and they have power. They're a great combination and they're also really good defenders. So it's gonna be a tricky series. If we could take 2 out of 3, I'd be happy with that.
Thrilled. I mean, they are a great team. I mean, no doubt about it. They they don't have the best record in the majors for even with the things that went wrong for that team, because there are a couple of things that went wrong for them. Muncy struggled early. Bellinger isn't the same like he used to be. Getting another guy who Turner, Justin Turner, hasn't been great. Now the pitching staff has had his injuries, but they're still, I mean, easily the best team in a major. So obviously it will be tough, but let's have faith in a rested Mets team. And we need some wins. The Braves, we can't get swept with the Braves. I think they're heading to Miami or Colorado right now.
Colorado. So definitely like you said, an important series to at least win one, so that you're guaranteed first place should Atlanta sweep the Rockies.
If we are at first place before September and a couple of games in October, I think the Mets are in a good spot with the schedule there.
Right, the schedule too, and also the new tie-breaking system, right? It's not a game 163 anymore. It's head-to-head. And the Mets right now have beaten Atlanta 9 out of 16 times. So if they – that second-to-last series, if they win one of those games, they have the tiebreaker. So essentially, right, if you go into that series, six games left, three against the Braves, three against the Nationals, if you're up one game, two games, and you're able to win one of those games in the Atlanta series – and essentially increase your lead by an additional game because you've won the tiebreaker, you definitely feel comfortable. So I think, like you said, Corne, it definitely is important to win these games when Atlanta is facing a team that you project them to beat.
Yeah, I just don't – I mean, I know the schedule for us is pretty easy in the last month, but I don't want the Braves to – leapfrog us, because I have a feeling that when they do, they might blowing over us. So if we keep the lead, I'm pretty confident.
Yep. Yeah, no, definitely a reason for optimism, as there has been all season long. This Mets team is playing really well. They've only won 100 games twice in their history, three times in their history. I'm not sure. I'm relatively young in terms of the Mets lifespan. I know in 86 and 88 they won 100 games. I'm not sure if they did it another time. But this is rare territory for sure for us Mets fans, and it will be a really exciting last of the season, and we hope that you choose to listen to us for all your news and analysis. That will do it for this episode of the Dorky Mets Podcast. I am Charlie DeLuca with Del Alba and Corne Hoogeveen. That will be all for this episode. Thank you, and let's go Mets.
Let's go Mets.
I'll let you down.